not easy. It's not easy.
Tough time. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam. Hilchas Yom Tov, Perek Shalishi, Halacha Dalet, Chapter 3, Law 4, page 212, 213. We're discussing more things that a person is not allowed to do on Yontif. The first few halachas discussed the idea of, you know, the issues of shechting an animal that would require Kisui Adam, covering the blood. So now, which really it doesn't do with Shechita, but it's a side issue that could possibly prevent us from shechting the animal. So now we have dealing with another, next halacha, Dalet and Hay. We'll deal again with, and Vav as well for that matter, and Zion. The next four halachas deal with side issues that don't directly relate to the shechita of the animal on Yontif, which we know you could do, but other related malachas, that there could be problems with that. So halacha Dalet. Now after you shecht an animal, are you going to eat the skin of the animal? The hide of the animal? It's going to be a tasty cow? Like, when you shech the cow, what do you got on top of the cow? A hide. Now, do you ever eat hide? No. Meat? You don't do that, right? Now, number one, what would you do with it? You'd want to, if it's a kosher one, use it for a safer Torah. Or make yourself a nice coat, right? A leather jacket, whatever, right? Now, can you do any of that activity on Yontif? To work the hides? No. But on the other hand, how can you eat the meat if you don't take the hide off?
Isn't it like peeling an orange?
Okay. So now what happens to the hide? Now, what's going to happen? You shecht an animal today, and you skin the hide off, and you do nothing to the hide for 24 hours. It's not going to be good. Now, let's take a step further now. Okay, now listen. What is better oneg yontif? What's the better way to enjoy yontif? Shechting an animal on erev yontif or shechting an animal on yontif?
Erev.
Let's ask. When we get greater joy in eating the meat?
It's fresher
if you shecht it on yontif.
I thought we meant what is. I mean, why are you putting yourself in a difficult situation?
No, but the meat's going to taste better if you shecht it today, right? But wait a minute. If I shecht it today, Can I work the hides?
No.
Whoa. You know how much money I'm going to lose if I don't work the hides today? I'm going to lose a lot of money. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to shech the animal today. So then I'm not going to have a good meal today. So now do we want people not having a good meal on Yontif?
No.
You see the nature how money works? You know, hey, wait, am I going to lose money on hides? So forget it. I'll go vegan today.
Can they just shecht it before them?
What if I was really busy? You know, what if I was busy? So, you know, and I figured, well, I'll shecht it on Yontif. And you're ready to shecht on Yontif, and the rabbi says, I want you to know, if you shecht it on Yontif, say goodbye to the skins. Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to shecht it, so it's going to come out, not going to really be having simcha on Yontif. Remember, it's not only that, remember the Rambam Paskins, how does a man have simcha on Yontif?
Meat,
beef. Beef and wine is how you fulfill the mitzvah Simchas Yontif, and you're not going to let him do anything with the skins. He's not going to shech the animal. He ain't going to have Simcha and Yontif. So you got to catch 22 over here. You understand the problem? So this is what Rama has to tell us how we're going to deal with this. Dalit Hamavshit or Behema B'Yontif. If a person now you can skin the hide off of the animal. You can't skin it because there's no way you can eat the meat if you don't skin it, right? Cool. So you may skin the hide of an animal off its body on Yontif. This is assuming, obviously, that you shechted it on Yontif, right? But if you do that, lo yimlechenu, you can't salt the hides. And salting is one of the early processes of, should say, ibudhu. That's the beginning of tanning. That's the beginning of that process. You know, it's so interesting. You know, Agav, when I was in Eretz Yisrael with Moishi, so Ira took us to a place not far from Shiloh where this guy makes tefillin. He makes the batim. It's very interesting. He has the boxes.
Oh, the boxes.
And he and another man have developed the science of making boxes, like, incredibly sophisticated. Now, you should know there's one opinion. I'll give you just an example. It's off topic, but it's interesting. Not a lot of guys here today, so I'm a little off topic. So, but it's still very good. You know, the Shel Rosh really is four separate compartments. But when you look at it, what do you see? You see the kind of together and with just a little kind of, looks like a scratch in between, four lines in between. But really, what is it?
It's scored.
But really, if you look at the hide, the way it's worked at, remember we saw pictures in Rambam, you put four indentations, right? It's like four things, they're separate, but they happen to be, they have to be squared, so they happen to get together. So, but there is an opinion, we don't necessarily Paskin like it, there's an opinion that says really, the four should be so separate that they're not touching. Now think for a minute, you're going to have four little sections not touching and yet square? How do you do that? So, and now, we don't Paskin like that opinion that they have to not be touching, but certainly if you could make it that way, you'd be Mahadrin
right.
For all opinions. So the science until recently has not been able to do it, because remember it's also going to be done by hand, it's going to be a hand running the machine and all this, it's very and we're dealing with skin and the skin is pliable and it moves anyway, so there were some who were able to do it that it was just razor thin distance in between, but over time they wound up getting clumped together. The technology now, this one guy, he's the only guy in the world that knows how to do this. He can make perfect that it looks like a square, and only if you hold it up to the light can you see clear as a bell that there's a fraction of a space in between each of the four, and it remains that way forever. Okay, and if you want to pay for that, those batim cost $1,000. $1,000.
Limited use for that technology.
And he only makes, what did he say? 20 a month. 20 a month is what he makes. And there's a great demand for that. Of course, he says he's going to buy the batim. He's also a sofer, so you have to buy his parshas, which he doesn't gouge. $500 for parshas is not a lot, so it's $1,500. But anyway, so that's number one, an interesting fact. A. So if you're thinking getting shimmy a pair of tefillin, I got the guy's card, and you have to order like a year in advance, and you'll get it's a top of the list. I paid for Moishi's tefillin, $1,400 U.S. which was very, very good partials, and the batim are also very good, but so this guy charged you $1,500 for this. Maybe his partials aren't as good as others, but it's very interesting. Anyway, so what was the point that I wanted to tell you? This was just getting me off the topic further, but he was saying that the long process that it takes from when you shech the cow until you're able to work the hide and all the different steps, that itself is really about a 6-month process. And when there's a certain part of the processing with the tanning, he says he has to get, before he went into this, he had to get rishus from his wife, permission from his wife, to be able to do this. Because when you work on that, you smell like the Dickens. Like you fashtunken, like unbelievable. The hide with the different, the liquid, whatever, to make it be what it has to be. And the time, he says, and he had to get his wife permission to do it. And when he does it, when he comes home, he doesn't even speak to his wife. He goes right to the shower for like a half an hour to get the complete smell out of him. So, the point we're trying to make over here is that this is a very, very difficult job here. That's what we're talking about over here. And remember, it's got to be a kosher cow, and 75% of cows that are shechted are not kosher. Even if it's a kosher animal, but they have problems inside. So there's a lot dealt with here. But critically, the guy shechting the animal, he can eat it. Those hides are valuable. And that's what it's saying. You can't salt it because even that salting process is zeh ibudhu. That's the beginning of the tanning process, and it comes out. If he tans it on yontif, if it comes out, v'nimtza oisa malacha shelo tzarech achila. He is doing work that has nothing to do with eating, and the only work you're allowed to do on yontif is something that has to do with eating, not for preparing tefillin or something like that. So now you got a problem. So now it's going to come out. You can't salt it. So it's finished. Guy's not going to shech the animal. So Ram says, but we'll give you one way out. Avol nosen lifnei beis hadrisa. but you can take the hide and put it in front of a place that has many people walking by that will trample on it. Kadeshi Yidrasu Alav, so people will trample on it, Flo Yiv Sadin will not lose the value of the hide. When people tread on a hide, that is also a beginning of a tanning process, and at least to the point that it will not spoil, even though you're not going to get to it later on. So even though that's not the normal way you would tan something, you'd start the tanning process with salting, but if since you can't salt it, so at least if you just put it out on Bathurst Street, and everybody's a very well-traversed area, people are going to just step on it, and they don't have in mind, they're just walking, that's ain't a miscavige. Ain't a miscavige. I just want to go on Bathurst, what are you sticking a hide on the street? So they're walking, they step on it, so when you step on it, it doesn't, for whatever reasons, it won't spoil, and you'll still have more time when you get to it after Yontif, it still is salvageable, and then you can salt it, and you can save the skin, and the skin isn't lost. So that's the way out, as it were.
So does that allow you to retain ownership when you put it on Baffin Street like that?
Yeah, you're not. You put it in a place where everyone's going to step, and where I guess you have permission to do it.
Right.
I guess there might be a lot of those hides there. And everybody understands, you know, one day I'm going to shecht an animal, I need my hides there. It could be one of these things
you
the rabbis... Yeah, but okay, I guess, you know, there's certain risk. If a guy would get injured, maybe he'd have to pay damages or whatever. But anyway, is there a way out? This is at least a way out, maybe just for your own family to have them step on it. But so that is the solution. As well, the Mephoshim say you can also place it in a cool or shady place so it won't spoil. Even though you maybe would have put it somewhere else, but once you have to put it somewhere, you'll have to put it in such a place. But the Rambam says you can go so further that we're going to step on it, and that at least is the best of both worlds. Now he's going to explain why. V'leitiran, why do we allow this to happen? Normally you shouldn't allow this to happen, but v'leitiran davar ze ela mipnei simchas yantav, to keep the simcha of yantav. Because you want people to refrain from slaughtering the animal. And therefore, since we're just throwing it on the ground, we don't know that you're doing it to improve the skin. So therefore, we allow that to happen. In other words, sometimes you allow something at the end to enable something to happen in the beginning. If we're not going to let you do anything with that hide, the guy's not going to shecht, they're not going to have a simchas yantav. So you didn't leave anything osur. It's a little trickery, that's all. So it's a trickery. So we allow that in order for the person to have the simchas yantav.
So even the Rambam would say this is a leniency, and he'd still prefer you to shecht it before.
Well, again, I can't say that for sure because it's tastier to shecht it on yantav. Right? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, there's asks, you want to have a more oinig yantav, to enjoy the yantav, right? And it's got to be beef, not chicken. Beef. And beef does have hides. You have to do something with the hides, right?
Chicken isn't considered fish?
Not, it's beef. Busar is always meant as beef, according to many poskim. Many poskim is beef.
Having chicken gotta have on roast. Friday night or something like that is not...
Well, that's Shabbos is not Yontif. Yontif, you should be particular to have beef, a roast for Yontif. Oh. Steak, whatever. But the real deal, beef. Okay? Now, what else? What if you're going to roast it? And a certain kind of roasting that requires less salting. So he says, "Umuter limloach basar litzoli al gabayor." If you're going to salt meat that will be roasted, you're allowed to salt it while it's on top of the skins.
So the skins get the salt too.
Right?
Yeah.
So therefore, umarim v'rezer, and you're allowed to be cunning in this area. In other words, again, even though it looks like it's a little bit of shtick, but again, we don't want the hides to get damaged, and no one's going to shecht it. So, okay, and since it's not a lot of salt, so you can do it. So, Kate says, what happens? So, Malech Ma'at Basar Mekan, you put a little salt on one side of the meat, Uma'at Mekan, a little bit on this side, until the whole hide eventually gets covered up, and that's how you get out of it. But now, Halacha continues when we're allowed to do this salting and when we're not. But when do we say we can do this kind of salting, this trickery? When you're salting it for roasting, why? You don't need a lot of salt. Since you don't need a lot of salt, it's not like the full-blown tanning process. But if you need the meat for cooking, and for cooking you have to have much more salting, or even for that matter, even if you're roasting it, but you put a lot of salt on it anyway. then you can't asur lochal, or you can't salt it on the meat, because then it's way too much salt and it really looks like it's the tanning process. And what else can you not salt? Not just meat, but v'chein ein molchin es hachalovim. You're not allowed to salt certain fats. There are certain fats that are not actual food, but you know, let's say you have certain fats you want to use after. You shecht an animal. You can eat the meat, but the fats on it, I'm sure they restored the fats and did something with it. They made some, WD-40 out of it or whatever. Whatever. They didn't waste anything with an animal. So the fat, technically you can't eat the fat. You're not going to use the fat on your own, but you don't want the fat to go to waste. Mm-hmm. So I'll salt some of the fat. So the same issue, just like you can't salt the hide, you can't salt the fat. Saying molchan es hachalom, you can't salt the fats. Ve'mahapchem b'hem, you can't turn them over, which also is another form of not letting it spoil. Ve'in sholchan es obruchagav, he says you can't stick it out in the wind on top of pieces of wood into it. Ne'she'en ruachim, because they're not fit for eating at all, and therefore we don't allow those things to happen. And we're afraid if you will do that, then you come to salting and all these things, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. And we don't seem to give any suggestions of how to save the fats. That array,
yeah, it says
that. But it does? What? Which
17.
What's it saying, 17?
Put the fats in a cool
shape. Be carried to a cool shape. Okay, same thing. Cool shape place we said before. You're right. You can put it in a cool shape place. Correct.
You know what? Just make it into schmaltz.
If you want to eat it, then
it's edible.
But what if you don't? What about inedible fats? I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Next, vav hamavshit as a behema. If you are skinning an animal on yontif, lo yargil the yontif. You shall not do the process called yargil. So Rambam says, "Ketzet hu amargil." What is margil referring to? So he says, "Zehamotzi kol basor me regel achas." I don't know how they did this. If the person, in other words, you've got the whole animal with the hide intact. And what do? They extract all the meat, the flesh, of the entire animal, miregal achas, through one of the feet. In other words, they put a hole at the bottom of the foot, and some are able to extract all the meat out of that foot, throughout the whole animal.
In other words, with the hide intact.
With the hide intact, because you want the hide to be perfectly intact. Kidei shiotzi kola er shom leikur. You want the whole hide to be complete without getting ripped up. Right? So let's think about that. Is there anything technically wrong with that? There's no malacha. You want the meat, and somehow you find, you make a hole in the foot, you know, and somehow you're able to, I don't know what the skill is, you're able to extract out all the flesh from it, and you're left with just a hollow, animal.
Yeah.
So that's called margil. Margil comes from the word regel. Regel. So I don't know what English word could ever translate it. Regeloading it. You know, like it's a foot technique, right?
Regelizing.
So now, why can't you do this? Why? What's wrong with doing this? No malacha. No malacha at all. You're just taking the meat out and just leaving the intact. The answer is. You think that's easy? It takes a lot longer to regelize it than to just chop it up into regular pieces. So you're going to spend an extensive amount of time. When you want some rib steaks, chop, chop, chop. Put it on the barbecue and you're finished. The guy could spend like 5 hours regularizing it just so what? But why is he really doing it? To save the skin. But that has nothing to do with yontif. That has nothing to do with the holiday. Therefore, you can't do all those different things. Right? V'chein osur lasos base yod baboser. You also can't make a handle on the meat. Meaning to say that sometimes when they checked an animal, they would carve the animal in a way with a knife to put a hole in it in a way that makes a handle so you can just carry the animal out. You know, they didn't have bags. And the guy chef a cow for you. Okay, now take the dead cow. Now it's kind of, you know, hard. So, okay, I'll put a handle in it, you know. And now it's a nice little hole right at the top. You carry it out like that. So you can't do that with meat on yontif. Let's say you're going to the shochet. You're allowed to go to the shochet on yontif. And say, okay, can you make a handle in it for me? Because then it'll be easier to carry. You can't do that. But when can't you do it? For who shas beside when you do that with a knife? Because shouldn't do it the way you do it on a weekday. In other words, it looks too much like a weekday activity, and it doesn't really have to do with the eating process. Right? So you got to do it different, because otherwise it looks like a business transaction that's going on over here. So you have to do it different. Now, but what can you do if you're a shochet? Mutar laso sima b'vasar. You can make a little sign in the meat. Let's say the shochet, people bring meat to the shochet and say, okay, I got a cow, you got to go, he's got a cow. After he shechts it, how's he going to know who gave him which cow? So he can put a little simen, a little branding or something, take the knife and make an X on this one and a Y on this one and a Z on that one. That you're allowed to do because you're trying to prevent people from taking the wrong one. That you can do, even though that's what you probably do during the week also. But that you have to do to make sure no one's going to... doesn't seem to state it. But there's a number of things you would have done. You would have made a handle and you would have made a sign. So we're saying don't make the handle normal and that's enough already. And the sign to know whose is whose, that you're allowed to do.
But you'd be restricted to not two letters. We learned on Shabbos that you couldn't have...
Okay, it's not a letter. It's not necessarily a letter. It could just be a siman. It could be a mark. You know, whatever is necessary. Okay, next halacha, we're still not done with the animal. See, all these things have nothing to do with the shechita. The shechita is fine, but all these other things get into the way of the shechita. Yes. Oh, he beat you on the pun there. Whoa, false. Getting tired. Zion. Mogin es harosh. You may moleg a rosh. What does it mean to be moleg? The head of the animal, you could toss it into boiling hot water. That's raglaim and the legs in boiling hot water. Why would you be doing that? Umehav havino sambe ur, in order to singe the hairs in the fire and the heat. In other words, there's hairs over there. You need them singed. You still can't eat the meat. Even if you skinned it, there's probably hairs or other stuff around there. So you throw it into boiling hot water, it singes the hairs. Now it makes it more readily to be eaten. Aval, but what you can't you do is ain toflino so besid ubecharsis. Velo ba'adama and not ba'adama. So what is he saying over here? But you can't put lime or clay or other types of earthenware things with it. You can't apply these things on the meat to that. Okay, let's see what the footnote over here says. Because then it's going to look like it's getting. I'm sorry, it's not for eating, it's just a singe.
But
you can remove the hair, but you can't put these other things there because that already looks like the tanning process. Yeah.
Even though your purpose is to remove hair still.
Yeah, but to put it in a boiling hotter, that's okay. But
well, that's like cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to do more than that, you can't do. The end goes in a soap and spirayim, and you can't shear it with scissors because, again, it looks like you're doing it for the hair. And you can't cut vegetables with a decorative scissors to make it in a very decorative fashion. Because that really is not necessary for yontif. You can fix up food that has thorns in it. There's certain foods that are common to have thorns in them. So you can cut them, but disperse with the scissors. Even if it's in a decorative fashion, because otherwise you couldn't eat it because of all the thorns.
Is it saying once you're cutting it, you can cut it in a decorative fashion, or that's the only way to...
That's the only, because if you have to cut the thorns out, then you can already cut it in a decorative, because you have to cut it anyway.
Right.
But to cut it to make it decorative, you know, we don't need to eat decorative.
Need it without the decorative.
That's interesting. I have to look in halacha, because, you know, there are women who like to make beautiful decorated watermelons and things like that. Which I see people doing, so if somebody sends me an email to look it up, I'll check that out and see if that is not allowed or not.
Wow.
But the Rambam is saying, he says you can't do it in a decorative fashion. The commentary doesn't even give any reason. Doesn't give any reading, and my commentary doesn't give any reason. So I would assume it's not, you could eat without it, but on the other hand, every lady will cry chai v'kayim, saying I won't enjoy the meal, it doesn't look pretty.
But couldn't you go back to the other, let's say you don't,
right?
You can't.
It's good there's no ladies learning Rambam.
Couldn't you say the same thing with the previous one? You won't eat the fruit if it's got hair, and it won't, you don't have the ability to singe it with fire, because you don't have
you can singe it with boiling hot water,
but you can't do other things.
No, so what I'm saying is, if you don't have the ability to singe it with fire, and you wouldn't eat it because it would gross you out to have it with hair, Don't you need to be able to do that in order to eat the meat?
So you can singe.
You can singe it with fire.
Yeah, you can singe it.
You can. But
yeah,
I'm saying
it says you can.
I'm just saying, if for whatever reason you don't have that ability, then you can only come onto those other methods, but you're not allowed to.
There'd be a problem. That's right. You couldn't do the other things. You couldn't do the other things. You're right. Okay, halacha ches. Interesting halachas. Moving now to making dough. Muta lalush isa gedel biyotif. If you're allowed to knead a very large amount of dough on yontif, and you might think, well, you know, you don't need that all for yontif, but no, you know, we've already learned you can make a big pot of chicken, even though it may be more than what you need, and never know if guests are going to come, so you don't have to worry, you're making a large amount, you know, you can make, let's say you're making a lot of dough, and guess what, you're only going to end up using half of them, half you're going to put in the freezer, and it'll be very good for the next Shabbos or whatever. You can do that, technically, right? Now, but halosh, now we're going to talk about another aspect of it. Now here's another, now just like we're saying, I can make challah yontif, but there's another thing that goes with making challah. Separating challah. Mm-hmm. So now we got to think about separating challah. But halosh isa me'erev yontif. Let's say you made the dough on erev yontif, but you didn't yet separate any challah from it, and now it's yontif. So ena mafresh men a challah b'yontif. You can't separate any challah for the kohen on yontif. Why? Because you could have done it on erev yontif.
But then you can't eat the challah, can you?
Then you're stuck. Why didn't you separate the dough on erev yontif? So just leave the dough. Now, what if though you want to have fresh challah? So you made a challah on erev yontif. We ate it all on Friday night, on yontif night. Now it's yontif morning. I don't have any challah. Can the woman make challah on the yontif day?
Yes.
Of course she can. They have to eat a challah. All right, what's going to happen with separating the challah? The melosh of the yontif, what if she leaves the dough on yontif as that's when she wanted to do that? Then mafrish mi mena challah, she may separate challah. Then no one give it to the kohen because that's part of baking challah.
And she had no alternative. She could have done it before.
That's right, because she wants to have tasty, fresh challah for this day. Huh. So she can separate the challah. Even though normally you're not allowed to do that on a Shabbos. You can't separate challah on Shabbos.
You can't bake challah on Shabbos.
I know, but let's say you forgot to separate. You know,
right.
You're not allowed because it's like you're repairing the challah. But on yontif, you're allowed to do it because whatever melacha is necessary to eat it, you're allowed to do it. Now we come to a tricky situation. What happens? V'mhoisa isa tmeya. What if you made the dough and now the dough became tamei? A reptile jumped into it. And now the whole dough is tamei, even before you separate in challah. A. Or, let's say you separated a fistful of challah, and a reptile jumped into the fistful of challah.
Oh,
shenitmei sachal, the challah that was separated got tamei.
Right.
Now you got a problem. You got a big problem. Why? Now when either case, because when the whole dough becomes tamei, that means even if I would separate challah, it's all tamei, or the challah is tamei afterwards. Chris, what do we do with this challah now? So you say, well, let me just bake the challah. Well, you can't do that because you can't eat it. You can't eat it because tamei challah has to be burnt.
Right, so why would you even want to bake it?
Well, whatever reason you want it to bake, you'll see, but you're not allowed to bake it. Lo yivash the challah, shem avash and miyantav elcho. You can only bake that which you can eat. Lo l'sreifa, not for burning purposes. Now, any truma that's tamei, you know, just like truma that's tamei, that the kohen can't eat it, you know, what can we do? We can burn it. Now, and we can benefit, you know, maybe from what you burnt, but you can't eat it. So this thing, v'zol, l'sreifa minas, all you can do is burn it. So you can't bake it. It's not. Oh, I'm making food, but it's not food you're going to eat. So you can't bake it. Okay. So let me burn it on yontif. V'chenin sarfin oisav yontif. You can't burn it on yontif. Shein sarfin kachim shem yontif. You're not allowed to burn kachim, sanctified foods that became tamei on yontif. That's also not allowed.
It's not for eating purposes anyway.
But you can't burn it because you have to burn it.
You have yontif, you wait till later.
Oh, that's got something to do with yontif. So you can't burn it.
Right.
So, because that's what he says. And he explains why. Shesreifas kachim shnibu, because if you want to burn kachim that became tamei, now you will say, yeah, it is a mitzvah to say. It is a positive mitzvah to burn kachim that became tamei. Shnemer says, but eshi sereif, it says, if you're kachin became tummy, there's a positive mitzvah to burn it. Ah, but that's not good enough. Why? Because you're doing a malacha on yontif not related to food. Vasiyas malacha she'en sarachila, any malacha that's done that has something to do with eating, or similarly, it's an essay velo sase. There's a positive and a negative associated, just like by Shabbos. The positive mitzvah of burning kachim does not override the positive and negative of desecrating the yontif. It doesn't apply to food.
You can still do it. You just have to delay.
Oh, so that's what Halacha Tes says. So Kate said, yes. So what do you do? What are you going to do? Bake it, you can't bake it. Burn it, you can't burn it. So what do you do? Say, if you wait until the night time, for Yisrael, you burn it at night. Well, that's not bad. But what's going to happen now? Of course, you're going to have to push the envelope. What happens if you decide to make on the second day of Pesach? You looked in the cupboard and all the matzah got eaten up. No problem, I'm going to make matzah on Pesach. Nothing wrong with making matzah on Pesach. As long as you do it in 18 minutes, it's not a problem. Right? What happens? You made the dough and you rate it, you're only been 4 minutes into the process and you're going to knead it out another 2 minutes and pop it in. You're going to have 18 minute matzah, it's not a problem. But a little reptile, boop, jumps into the dough.
Oh boy.
Or you separate a little challah that you're going to give to the kohen. Jumped into the dough. Now you have kachim, that's tummy, on Pesach. And what was the only solution we had?
Wait.
What's going to happen if you're going to wait with that dough?
Hummus.
And?
Hummus.
And what's going to be your punishment?
Kares. And this time you want you for matzah.
Checkmate. Checkmate. What are you going to do then? You see, I'm pushing the envelope. Okay, we say, okay, let's avoid the issue. Let's just wait till the night time. That's good any other time of year, but not on Pesach.
Would it become hummus if you just left it alone?
So there's one opinion they bring down and say, keep it in a real cool place so it won't rise.
You bury it?
But not everybody can be, so
you
can't rely on that. So what do we do? So what do you do? So again, this was the Yantav of Pesach. You're going to leave it, it's going to become chametz. And that's going to be a major problem. So Lo Yafri says, Achola Batzik, you can't separate this challah while it's a dough. Can't do that. It's not going to help. Elo Yoifes Kol Isa, bake the whole thing. If you bake it, what have you gained?
Nothing.
Yes, you have.
No, you've made it.
It doesn't become chametz.
It's not chametz.
Yeah.
It's tamei, but it's not chametz. So Yoves Kol Isa Tmeya, V'yakav Yafri Shachalachim, then separate challah, because you still got to separate challah, even though you're not going to eat it. You have to separate it, and then after Yontif, you'll burn it.
Are you allowed to bake it?
So here's the thing. So let's look at all the issues here. If I bake it, so the commentators have nothing to say on this. So we have to speculate a little bit.
No, but you're not allowed to bake it if you can't eat it.
I understand, but if you don't do that, you get karis. Right. So what's worse?
So you're going to get a punishment no matter what, but you just don't want the worst punishment of karis.
You don't have a choice. You got to bake the dough, even though it's tamei, right? And
what happens to the oven?
Are they both
what?
Can you use the oven?
What's wrong with the oven?
Hummus bakes tummy.
No, hummus is
that doesn't make the oven necessarily tummy.
Can you bake it and give it to a non-Jew or something?
No, you got to burn it. So it's a lesser of two evils. And I believe the pshat is a lesser of two evils. Karis is really bad. Right?
You can do tshuva.
Rabbi, is
yeah.
But is bakes
so although you've trans... So what have you really done? Burning it you didn't do, but baking you did. But baking's only, I guess you'd say like this, I guess the rabbis say just like they allow you to do a malacha when you need to do something to eat, we could say they'll allow you to malacha to avoid you getting a kares. You know, if there's no other option, then why, you're not doing it for your own benefit. Believe me, if Hashem didn't say you get kares, you'd let it go. So it's right. For Hashem's Torah. Burning kachim, you could wait till after the end. You don't have to do it now. You don't have a choice. You're going to create a situation of kares. Hashem doesn't want you to have kares. So it's not for me. I'm not going to enjoy it. So bake it up. And at least that's the lesser of two evils.
Wouldn't it always be risky to, I mean, I know we're spoiled because we got to the store by matzah, but I mean, to bake it with the risk that you could create.
Yeah, but what if you have nothing? We don't have stores. So what if you eat nothing on Pesach?
Can't you don't have to eat matzah.
Well, he's hungry. It's the staff of life, man. You need Lechem Mishnah. You need Lechem Mishnah for Yontif.
So
it's Yontif, right? Need lechem mishnah.
What would be worse? Not
you ate up all the matzah. You have guests. You were achnasas orchim. You have the guests. Yeah, everybody had a shear. Everybody had kazayas. And then there was no matzahs left. So what are you going to do?
Just before the first seder, you realize somebody chapped the matzah.
Whatever. We don't have to worry why. We have to know what the halach is. That's all. Right.
What if you throw murder? You're rid of that.
Can you marry your brother's sister?
Make it hefker.
Yeah. If you throw it out of your house, it's not in your possession. Isn't that the
can't carry it. It's muksa. Can't carry it. You only can carry things that you need for yontif.
Get the rosh of the cat.
That would be a malacha too. Okay, shkayach guys.
That was a tough Rambam.
Whoa, tough.
4-9.
4-9.